Here this morning, please do turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We preached in the past 2 weeks two messages on the grace gifts mentioned in Romans chapter 12. Seven specific gifts that have been given to individuals in the church by God's grace. They are charis, charisma. They are gifts of grace into the body of Christ. And we especially dealt with that last week. These seven specific gifts, and they're not the only gifts. Paul just lists seven as a taste of all the gifts that God has put into the body of Christ. But I want to add an appendix here this morning on this third and last message on this short series. And my message this morning is grace, gifts, and character. You see, I don't want to be preaching about the grace gifts or these supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit, ministry gifts, or gifts that come from the hand of God without dealing with this vital aspect of character. And that is the theme of my message. Without character, the gifts are nothing. Or they could endanger your internal soul. Or they could destroy a church or lift you up in pride. So we don't want to talk about the gifts of God. And we do want the gifts of God. And we need the gifts of God. But we want to be sure that we never separate them from character here this morning. In this message, grace, gifts, and character, Romans chapter 12, reading from verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And then notice he goes further, having dealt with these gifts. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessities of the saints, given to hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peacefully with all men. Let's pray together. Father, we do pray, Lord God, that you bring that weightiness of your Holy Spirit, even in the Word of God. Lord God, we do want the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We do want the ministry gifts in this church. Lord God, we do want these grace gifts to be imparted and to function, Lord God, in a very real way in our midst. But Lord God, we don't want gifts without character. Lord God, we want to minister out of character. Lord God, out of years of being faithful, and Lord God, learning to put the Word of God into operation in our life, of being faithful and gracious and merciful and loving. Lord God, it's in the midst of all of these attributes that we want to manifest the gifts and move in the gifts. And Lord God, be gifted of your grace, Lord God, in the church to minister unto one another. Let nothing be done through vain glory, Lord God, or hypocrisy, but help us to love one another this morning. And Lord God, as we love each other, that we might edify one another with the gifts given to each one of us. Help us this morning to understand and to see and to learn from your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. My message, grace gifts and character. Grace gifts and character. Last week we dealt with verse 9 and verse 10, and we saw there are seven gifts by God's grace that he puts within the church. We dealt with last week about prophecy, the gift of prophecy, of ministry or the ministry of a deacon, of the ministry of teaching, the ministry of exhortation, the ministry of giving. Certain people have a ministry of giving. The other ministry of ruling or being an eldership in the church, and also of showing mercy. That is a gift. When someone has a ministry of showing mercy to people in the church, that is a gift that comes out of the grace of God. But I don't want to stop with those gifts. After dealing with gifts in verse 9 and verse 10, Paul goes further in verse 9 through to verse 18. And in these next 9 verses, do you know what he begins to deal with? Character. Character is different than gifts. It's not the same. Character is the character of Jesus Christ. It is love in operation. And I want us to be so aware of it, that when we come to Romans chapter 12, he begins to deal with the church. He begins to deal with how we operate in the church, how we function in the church, how we affect each other within the body of Christ. That's what he's dealing with in Romans chapter 12. Look with me at a moment. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, what does it say there? Before dealing with the gifts, before dealing with how we operate in the church, where does he start in verse 1? He begins by begging them that they present their bodies as a living sacrifice. Now notice, verse 1, what's the first thing you do? You offer up your body. You're offering your ears and your eyes and your mouth and your hands and your feet and your energy and your strength and your wisdom. You offer all this. You're saying, Lord, I offer up my body. This physical body. Don't separate your body from spiritual things. You cannot do that. You can't just say, well, I love God and it doesn't matter what my body does. You cannot do that and function right in the church. The first thing that God requires of you is, God, you have my body. You have my tongue. You have my ears. You have my hands. You actually have my physical body. That's where all of this begins. God has your body. But look at verse 2. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Verse 1, he deals with your physical body. Verse 2, he deals with your natural mind. How you think. The inward part of you. So notice, you have to give God your body, but he's also looking for your mind. If you're going to operate in the church and truly in the giftings of God and with the character of God, verse 2 is is vital. It's dealing with your mind. And unless your mind is renewed, you'll never be useful to God or man in the church. You'll never function as God plans it. Or you'll never do the will of God unless your mind is renewed. Here in verse 2 it says, be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Look what he says in this verse. Either you're going to be conformed to the world, or you're going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it's got everything to do with the thoughts in your mind. What you do with your mind. If you don't allow God to renew it, you are going to be conformed to this world. All of you in this room are either conformed to the world or you've been transformed by the renewing of your mind. You're one or the other. What does it mean to be conformed to the world? What does that mean? What is the world? Do you know what the world is? Contemporary society. That could be in the church or it could be out there on the high street. He says you're either going to be conformed and pressed into this contemporary world, this culture. Do you realize what a great power is in this world? In society, in the environment around us. Do you realize this entire generation has changed within 20 years radically? Those who are a bit older have seen it. There's been a radical change in our culture. Overnight, an entire generation, people who used to think one way, have now changed within 20 years. You know why? They are being conformed, pressed into this world. This world, there is a power. It is contemporary society. And it is conforming you, making you think in a certain way, make decisions in a certain way, speak in a certain way, go in a certain direction. That's what it means. You're being conformed to the world. And I'm not talking about just evil things. It could be in the church. You're being conformed. Oh, we don't believe that anymore. The church used to believe certain things that it doesn't believe anymore. You know why? It is being pressed. There is a power. How do you stop being conformed to the world or the latest things that blow through the church? How do you do that? Be renewed, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Either you're being molded by the influences around you, or you're being transformed. I mean, what does the word transform mean? It means renovated. Your life, it's like moving into life when you're born again. You're saved by God's grace. I believe in Jesus. And you move into the house, you're given the keys. And you move into a new life in Christ. I'm born again. I'm a new man in this physical body. But you know the problem is your mind needs renovated. Your mind needs renovated. Your life needs renovated. And that's what it's saying here. You're a new man with a new beginning and your past is forgiven, but your mind needs renewed. How do you do that? By the word of God. You need your mind to be changed and transformed. Either you're being conformed to this world, pressed into its mold, or you're being changed by the word of God and you're beginning to think like God thinks. Do you want to change life? Then you need to renew your mind. Do you know why your life never changes? Because you don't change your mind. How do you change your life? How do you become more like Jesus? You become more like Jesus by having your mind transformed. Be not conformed to the contemporary culture in thought, in opinions, in attitudes, in ways, speculations, impulse, desires, in your habits. Paul constantly had a fight, and you know this from his writings, against the wisdom of this world. He says, don't be affected by the wisdom of this world. That means the cutting wisdom, the cutting edge wisdom of this temporary world. But he says, be transformed. Be metamorphosed. You know what happens to the little butterfly What did it begin as? A caterpillar. Something happened. You know what? It was metamorphosed. How? By the renewing of the mind. Saints, that's what happens in the Christian life. You want to be metamorphosed? You want to be changed into the likeness of Christ? It's got everything to do with your mind. As a man thinketh, so is he. You're thinking, how you think? I don't believe that can happen. I don't believe I can change. You never will. You never will. I don't see anything wrong with that. That's why you're living in sin. That's why you're living in sin. You're either going to be pushed into the mold of this world, or you're going to be transformed by having your mind changed. What is a transformed mind or a renewed mind? It's sanctified personality. What is character? A sanctified personality. It's a changed mind. It's a consecrated body. It's living in holiness. It's Christ-likeness in your actions, in your deeds, and in your words. What is true godliness? It is being Christ-like. That's what it is. Since I'm only laying a foundation here for what I'm about to say, I'm telling you that Romans chapter 12 is about consecrating your body and having your mind renewed and having a changed life. And he says, as you present your physical body, and as you allow the Word of God to change your mind and to renew it, and you become more and more like Jesus, you are ready to minister in the church. You are actually in a position. How do you make yourself a vessel gifted of God with character, ready to do the will of God in the church? You offer up your body and you renew your mind. Do you know in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, it says this. Listen very carefully for a second. Talking about Christ in the image of God. It says Jesus Christ is the express image of his person. Who is Jesus? He is the express image of God. In other words, when you look at Jesus and see his words and his actions and his character, you are seeing God. Who is Jesus? The express image. Do you know what the word there, express image, is in the Greek language? Do you know what it is? Listen carefully. It is the Greek word character. We in English use the word character. Do you know we've taken it from this Greek word? It is the exact same word. We didn't change it. We took a Greek word over into the English and we talk about a man having character. Do you know what the Greek word means? It was actually a tool. Character was a tool that you used to begin to sculpture something into an image or a mold. In other words, you took this tool. It is called character. And you begin to cut away. And you begin to slice. And you begin to mold. And you begin to change. And you're forming an image. That's what you're doing. What are you using? Character. Then, before long in the Greek language, it was no longer the instrument that done that, but it was the image itself. When you looked at the image, that is character. Do you know why? You have formed an image that you desire to see. Do you know what character is? It is God working in your life and saying, I'm changing you and I'm forming you into the likeness of Jesus. That is what character is like. Lying is not character. Telling the truth is character. And when God is working on you, he is forming character. My message this morning, grace, gifts, and character. Don't separate them. Never separate them. And I've got three simple points here. First of all, gifting without character. We're going to look at gifting in the Bible without character. And then second of all, we're going to look at character without gifting. And then we're going to look at both of them together. Gifting with character. First of all, gifting without character. Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, whenever the 70 disciples that he had sent out to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, and to cast the demons out of individuals, when they returned unto him, listen to what they said. They said, Lord, even the devils, the demons are subject unto us through your name. In other words, we tell them to go and they've got to go. These demon powers and people are set free. Listen to what Jesus said. I beheld Satan fall from heaven. Do you know what he says? He didn't clap them on the back and say, well done, guys. You're doing good, guys. He didn't do that. Here they are boasting, saying, we have power. We have authority to heal the sick. We are casting demons out. Miracles are happening. And he says, woe unto you, be very careful. I saw Satan, Lucifer, fall from heaven. Who was Satan? He was the highest angel in heaven. He had the highest position. He had the greatest anointing. He led the worship of heaven. He was given a privileged, unique position like no other created being. He actually was there in the presence of God. He's called the anointed cherub, or the cherub who covers God's glory. He was the closest to God's glory. He was created perfect. And yet, what does the Bible say? That day, that hour, when evil and iniquity was found in your heart, you were cast out of heaven to the earth. You know what Jesus is saying here? I see the same pride in you guys because of gifting that I saw in Lucifer. You see, what I gave Lucifer, I gave it to him. He was a beautiful angel. He was the highest angel. I gave him all that. He didn't earn it. This was my gift to him. And yet he said, I will be higher than God. I will ascend on high. Saints, be very careful of pride within the body of Christ, of looking down on others, or thinking, I have something that is good. I have something that is spiritual. Be very careful. Jesus is given a warning about Satan himself, how far he fell from heaven itself. And he says, I've given you authority, but you better make sure that you have humility. I give you power over the devil, but you better walk small within your own eyes. When we go to the Old Testament, we have many warnings about men and women who had gifting, but they had no character. Paul writing in 1 Corinthians 10 and 11, this is what he says. Now all these things in the Old Testament happened unto them for ensamples or examples. They are written for our admonition or our correction or for our warning. Everything written in this book is written for your warning upon whom the ends of the world have come. In other words, the church at the end of world history. These things are written so that you can learn lessons. Look at the Old Testament for a moment. And we read about Samson in the book of Judges. And we know that Samson, in the story of Samson, that an angel of the Lord came to his mother, or Manoah's wife, and she was barren. She couldn't have any children. But an angel of the Lord came to this little insignificant woman. They didn't have much. We don't even know what her name is. We don't have her name. They were nobodies. And yet the angel of the Lord came to him and said to this mother, you are going to have a child. But when you have this child, don't you drink any wine. You're his mother. Don't drink wine. Don't drink any strong drink. Don't eat anything that's unclean. And don't cut his hair from a young boy. Let him grow up as an actual Nazarite. The angel of the Lord ministered unto this family and actually brought forth a child and raised up this child. Do you know that the Spirit of God began to move on him, and he had power and strength from God. He had such a unique power that he could kill 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. He had remarkable power, and he defeated the enemy in the nation. But do you know what's so sad? This man, gifted of God, he was anointed of God. He had unusual strength to defeat the enemy. But as soon as he started to play with character and holiness, and eventually his hair was cut, it's all over for Samson. His strength and his courage and his power and his gifting depended upon character. Saints, I want to give you a warning that as soon as you lose character, gifting means nothing. Gifting loses its power when you lose holiness and Christ-likeness. God may have gifted you in a great way, but you realize lack of character can damage that gifting. You could be the greatest preacher of this generation, and yet nobody will hear from you because of your character. Lack of character can hinder you that God will never be able to use you. Or you could be the greatest vessel in the world and God will have to set you aside. Why? Because you do not have character. You can't play games with character and continue. What about David, that man after God's own heart? He was a little shepherd boy, up to 17 years old. He looked after the herd. Even his father didn't think much of him. But do you know what? God knew where he was. He had a heart after God. At 17 years old, the prophet Samuel comes to him, anoints him with oil, and says, you're going to be the king of Israel. After that, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, this man of God with character could defeat Goliath, the greatest enemy of God's people. What an entire army could not do. One little shepherd boy was able to defeat this great enemy, this giant. But you know, the day come when this man after God's own heart, in a time where kings go out to war, he stayed at home. And on that very night, he's walking on top of his house late at night, at a time where he should be in the battlefield, and he looks down in a house and sees a lady that's having a bath. And it brought his downfall. A man who could defeat a giant fell at the feet of a woman. Saints, I'm telling you about character. You cannot afford to have gifting without character. Or what about King Solomon? Three times in the Bible we read that God came to Solomon. And in fact, he's known as the one that God loved, or the beloved of God. If there's a man in the Old Testament who God loved, it was Solomon. He had a unique love that God loved him. And we know the story how God came to him one night and said, what do you want me to give you? Anything you ask of me, I'm going to give you. I wonder what some of you would answer tonight. If the Lord came to you and says, I'll give you anything that you ask of me right now, you're guaranteed to get it. I would hate to think what some of you would ask for. I would hate to. Listen to what Solomon asked for. He says, give me wisdom. Make me wise that I know how to look after your people, the people of God, how to lead them and care for them. You know what God said? Because you didn't ask for wealth, and you didn't ask for fame, and you didn't ask for the defeat of your enemies, I'm going to give you riches greater than any man who has ever lived on the face of the earth. You know, Solomon was the wisest man who has ever lived in all of history. There has never been a wiser man than this man. But the wisdom, where did it come from? It came from God. It came from God. Where did Samson's strength come from? It came from God. All these men had to do was walk with God, and they would be the wisest, the strongest, and the greatest men who ever lived in their generation. But it all depended on a walk with God. God gives wisdom. God gives gifts. God gives anointings. And all of that, that isn't because of you. But since you can destroy it, when you play games with it. King Solomon, we're told the Queen of Sheba, came all the way from Africa because she'd heard about his wisdom. But you know what happened with him? It says many foreign wives turned his heart away from God. When you play with sin, you play with your eternity. You play games with that, you're going to get burnt so badly that for all eternity, you'll wish the day that you had never got burnt of those those things. You cannot take fire in your bosom and not get burnt. You will get burnt. Solomon got burnt. David got burnt. Samson got burnt. Whether it's outside the church or in the church, you cannot play around with things and yet think everything turns out well. Well, God's just going to bless me anyway. No, he won't. There's men who were very close to the kingdom of God. What did Paul say to Felix? You're very close to the kingdom of God. He heard the preaching. He trembled. He was affected. He said, I do want to believe. And you know what Paul says? You're very near the kingdom of God. You know what Felix said? Thou almost persuadest me. Man, my emotions, my feelings, you've got me right at the door. This important man. And he says, I almost want to believe and become a Christian. But he stopped short. You know that man, if you go to the history books and you follow his life, he died a horrible death. It was a disaster, his last days. He was a man who got so close to the kingdom of God, but he died in his sins. You can't play with these things. There is a time and an hour where God has a dealing with the man. Samson's strength disappears. Solomon's wisdom becomes utter foolishness. They say, the wisest man in the world, he went and married 1,000 women. He definitely wasn't a wise man. What a fool he became, following all these ladies, bringing in all this false religion, offering incense at Baal's altar. What a fool he became. His great wisdom damned him almost to hell. Thank God, God rescued Samson. You see, was Samson real? Yes. Was Solomon real? Yes. Did Samson make it back again? Yes, right at the end before he dies. Did Solomon make it back? Yes, he did. They were real vessels, but they played with the character of God. They played with the holiness of God. They thought they could have gift and strength and wisdom. Without character, you cannot do that. You cannot have gifts from God and blessings from God. You know, if God ever blesses you, you better tremble. If God ever blesses you in your life and answers your prayer and gives you things and surrounds you with good things and you forget his goodness and you treat it lightly, you better be very careful, because what he gives, he'll take away again when you play with it. If you don't listen to him, you see, the Bible says the goodness of God is given to you. He's good to you. He actually blesses you. He answers prayers for you. The goodness of God leads to repentance. And there's some people who don't realize that, so they harden their heart. God is being good. They harden their heart. And they don't realize they're being lined up for a day of judgment. In fact, they're going, nothing's happening, nothing's happening, nothing's happening. It'll come in 1 hour. The judgment will fall on your head. God doesn't play games. He really doesn't play games. You to have gifting without salvation, what a disaster. You say, what? To have gifting without salvation. Is there such a thing? Yes, King Saul, the Spirit of God moved on him. He prophesied. And yet he was a reprobate. He was an apostate. That's what King Saul was. Or what about Judas, chosen to be an apostle? An apostle sent out to preach the gospel. And yet he's got betrayal in his heart. I will betray Christ. I'll sell him for 30 bits of silver. I'll sell him for a retirement home. Or what about Balaam, that prophet in the Old Testament? You know what Peter calls him? A false teacher. Everything he prophesied came to pass. He had unique miracles. Angels were sent unto him. He had real manifestations. And yet his heart departed from God. He had gift and real gifts of the Holy Spirit. But he didn't have character. He didn't have character. He went after money. You know what? God cut him off. He died in 1 hour. There are men in the Bible who had giftings and they were not saved. And yet they still operated in giftings. There's other men who, by God's grace, he recovered them before their death. But listen to me, in the church, having gifting without character. A man can be gifted here in this church to be an elder, but I can't appoint you as an elder. Why? Because you're lacking in some quality. We have in Titus chapter 1 and in 1 Timothy chapter 3, 22 qualifications for eldership. God may have given you the grace, given you the ability, given you the ministry. You could actually have it, but you're not functioning in it. Why? There is some quality that holds you back. Maybe you're soon angry. You know what I'm told? Don't appoint a man as an elder in the church if he is soon angry. You may be the greatest preacher. You may be a great leader. You may care for the sheep, but you're soon angry. You know what? I can't appoint you as an elder. Your children could disqualify. How you treat your children could disqualify you from being an elder. Can I exhort you guys with the call of God? Lie on your face with these 22 qualifications. If God's calling you to ministry, you better get on your face and say, I must have character. I must be qualified. The gifting isn't the big issue. It is the character that matters. You're called to be an elder or a deacon or a Bible teacher or a prophet. Make sure you're actually qualified. Or if you're called to be a deacon, we're told in 1 Timothy 3, don't be double-tongued. What does that mean? Don't go over here and say one thing to one person and go over here and say something to someone else. You're double-tongued. You can't be a deacon. We're not going to ask you to serve in the house of God. Can you imagine someone being gifted as a teacher, but they do not practice what they teach? Can you imagine someone being gifted of the Holy Spirit to prophesy publicly in our meetings, but we all know they're a liar? Can you imagine these things? Or they don't have any love in their heart towards others. It says in 1 Timothy 5:19, against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Then listen to the next verse. It never gets mentioned. Them that sin, talking about elders, leaders in the church, them that sin rebuke before all. Well, we don't do that. The Bible commands it. If there was an elder in this church who sinned and it was seen, you see, some sin doesn't take you out of being an elder. There's actually some sin. An elder in this church could sin and we could know it. It could be visible. And he's got to be rebuked publicly before everyone, but he doesn't get removed from being an elder. There's some things disqualify you from ministry. There's other things. Sin can arise, even in ministry, but it needs to be dealt with. I'm not talking about adultery. We'd put you out of ministry and you'll never get back in ministry. I'm not talking about going out getting drunk. I'm talking about some issue where we'll have to rebuke you before all, that others also may fear. But what about someone who's called but not qualified yet? You could have a call in your life for ministry, or to be gifted, or to teach the word of God. But you need a few years to grow. Since the Bible gives that time, you've got to grow in holiness, in character, in Christ-likeness. You have a call in your life from your first saved. I know I'm called to preach, but it may take you several years to get there. Never put a novice into ministry. What does Paul say in 1 Timothy 3? Not a novice. Don't put someone into ministry or behind the pulpit who's a novice. What does that mean? A new Christian, a young believer. Don't do it. 1 Timothy 5:22. Lay hands suddenly on no man. Neither be partaker of other men's sin. Keep thyself pure. Don't publicly have an ordination service where you say, this person is in ministry. Never do that quickly. It says of the deacons, prove them first. Give time. They may be functioning as a deacon now. They may be gifted to it, but we don't recognize that officially. Same with eldership. You could be a great teacher, a great leader, but you are not an elder in this church until you are qualified. Since you can have giftings, but it's not yet time. That's gifting without character. Never separate gifting from character, or it's disastrous. Second of all, character without gifting. Character without gifting. And I want you to see this. Character without gifting Really, there is no such thing. If a man has character, there will be gifting. You may not know what it is yet. It may not have manifest yet. You may not be ready for it yet. But where you get someone with character, God always gives gifting. God no more wants someone with character without gifting than he does someone with gifting without character. He actually wants it to be together. In Romans 12, verse 3, it says, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Every man is given a measure of faith to minister in the body of Christ. Then in verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, prophesy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, given, ruling, showing mercy. Once he's in, God gives in the church gifts. Never be satisfied with just character. Oh, I just want to live before God. I'm honest. I'm upright. I'm pure. I'm not committing sin. I'm not getting drunk. Do you know what? It's not enough to say that. You ought to be pursuing the gifts of God. God doesn't want you with great character and yet no gifting. He doesn't want you there saying, but I'm Christ-like and yet not ministering to other members in the body of Christ. When I was a young boy, maybe 13, and I would see men much older than me, very gifted of God. They could preach and they could prophesy and they could lay hands. They were moved of the Holy Spirit. But you know what? They gossip. They backbite. They accuse. They had attitudes. They grumbled. They got angry. Do you know what I said as a young boy? I don't have gifting. I don't know how to prophesy. I can't preach. I don't know how to study. But you know one thing? I'm gonna be faithful. You know, for years I thought, well, I'm left with character, but no gifting. I don't have ability. I've got no power. I've got no unusual gifting. But I do want to serve God, and I love Jesus Christ. Little did I realize, God never just leaves you with character. If you walk with God and you've got character, the gifts of God are going to come. You're given gifts to serve others, to build up, to strengthen the body. Can you imagine for one moment the church and Christians without gifting? We all have character in this church, but there is no gifting. We are unequipped. We are ineffectual. We have no power, no ability to speak, no understanding, no gifting to lead. And yet we say, I have character. I've got character, but no gifting. That isn't God's will. Saints, character without gifting is as troublesome as having gifting without character. There are problems on both sides. When you go to the Bible, think of the 120 in the upper room. They're in prayer. They have sacrificed. They have dedicated their body to God. Their minds are renewed. They have come out of the world. But how are they going to evangelize this generation? There's no gift of the Holy Ghost. No ability to preach. No signs and wonders. How would they evangelize? They could have all the character and yet they have no influence. Because where are the gifts of God? Do you remember Daniel in the Old Testament? How that when he was first in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, and Nebuchadnezzar had that dream, and he comes to all the wise men and the gifted men, and he says, I want one of you to interpret my dream and to tell me what I dreamed. None of them could do it. And he says, you know what? I am going to kill all of you. And in amongst them was a young man called Daniel. And we're told that Daniel went to the king and he says, great king, now he's got holiness. He's got godliness. He has character. He is pure in his heart. But if he doesn't get gifts very soon, he is going to have a very, very short life. He goes before the king and he says, oh, great king, give me time and I'll pray unto my God concerning your dream. And the king said, you've got the time. And he went away and said, oh, God, show me what the dream is. You know what God done? God gave him the ability, the wisdom to interpret dreams, to know what the dream is and to interpret it. And it saved his life. Do you see how you can have character? But if you have character without gifting, there are consequences. Or what about Joseph? Remember, Joseph is thrown. He's lied upon. What a godly man. He ran from sexual sin. He always told the truth. He always walked right. But he got lied on, thrown in a prison, and would have got left there to die. But do you know what? He knows how to interpret dreams. Do you realize that's the gifting of God? The Holy Spirit had given him the ability to interpret dreams. Or what about Moses, the man of God, who is prepared 40 years in the backside of the wilderness? And yet this man, how does he go to Pharaoh and say, "Let my people go"? Is he going to say, "Well, you're a very godly man, I'm going to do it. I'm very scared of you"? There were signs and wonders given that shook the entire Egyptian kingdom. Saints, I'm telling you something, that if we have character, we do need the gifts of God. You may not have the gifts yet. You may be getting prepared. They may not have manifest yet, but we do need gifts. In Judges chapter 6, we read about Gideon, that man of God, a young man. Do you know where we first see him? He's threshing wheat by a wine press, and he's hiding from the Midianites, who are the enemies. He is not a compromiser. He is saying, "I'm serving God. I am not an idolater. I want to walk with God." But look at him. He's one individual hiding in his village. He has no power to change his father's life. No power to change his village. No power to change the nation. All he cares about is, "I don't want to compromise. I want to thresh out the wheat. I want to provide bread to eat in this dark hour." The enemy is everywhere. Do you know what happens? The angel of the Lord comes to him. Listen to this for a moment. The Lord, and says this, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Here is a man with character, a young man. And God is saying, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." How does he respond? If the Lord is with us, why then is all of this befallen us? Why is the church in such a mess? Why is it so dark in our nation? Where is the power of God? And where be all the miracles which our fathers have told us of, saying, "Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites." I want you to see a young man, Gideon, who has character. He's walking with God. He is uncompromising. But there's no power there. There's no gifts there. There's no ministry there. But little does he realize God's preparing him. Since I believe there's people all over our world at this present time, and churches, being prepared of God. The gifts are not there. The ministries are not there. It is not manifest. But you know what? God is preparing. Deep in their heart they're saying, "Where are the miracles? Where is the revival? Where is the purity of God's house?" They have kept themselves pure. They're walking with God. But there is an hour where God is going to come and say, "Now is the time, thou mighty man of valor. You know what? I'm going to use you to deliver a nation." What? Are you serious? Yes. If God can find a man with character, all he needs to do is give him the gifting. If he can get 120 to the upper room, he can change a generation and change our world for good. You see, the man without character, with real character, will never be passive, lazy, bored, negligent, or weak. We read in the Bible about a young man who had been given great ministry gifting, but he'd neglected it. His name was Timothy. Paul, writing to Timothy, says, "You have unfeigned faith. There's no hypocrisy with you. Your mother was the same and your grandmother was the same. They had a very pure faith in God. No hypocrisy." And he says, "It is in you. You don't have any hypocrisy." But he says, "Listen to me, son. I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." In other words, he's saying to Timothy, "You received a gifted ministry at the time I prayed for you and we prophesied over you. You're only a young man, a very weak man, but God set you apart and anointed you and called you, and you had a gift given unto you, a ministry gift. Do you realize you can receive a ministry and through your neglect, you leave it there? It's not even operating in the church. It's there. It's given by God. God's grace is there. His calling is there. And you're not even operating in the church. You know what Paul said unto Timothy? You need to stir the gift up. It means bring it to flame. Stir around the embers. Get it back into operation again. If you're sitting there saying, I'll just let God use me sometime, it'll never happen. Saints, hear me this morning. If God has called you, gifted you, or enabled you, you need to stir up the gift of God. It won't just happen. You can wait all day long, but God wants you to stir up the gift of God. God doesn't want character without gifting. He wants to give you gifting with your character. If you've got character, you can be a powerhouse for God. Let the power of God come on you and you'll serve God. But thirdly and lastly, gifting with character. Not gifting without character. Not character without gifting. But gifting with character. What God joins together, let no man put asunder. Never separate these two things. You're in trouble if you have gifting or position or anointing in the church without gifting. But also, if you have all character, you know, some in the church have stripped the church of the gifts. We don't believe in the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. We don't believe in the 5 gifted ministries. You've just stripped the church of great gifting and of power and of its needed. You may have character, but you've got rid of the gifts. We need the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We need both of them here. You see, gifting with character. We read in Romans chapter 12, instruction on the life behind the grace gifting. In other words, God gives gifting, but he shows you there is a life or a character or a way to live behind it. Read the context of Romans 12, of the 9 gifts in Romans 12, and you read a character or a lifestyle. Look at Romans chapter 12 verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. He finishes talking about the gifts in verse 8 and he immediately begins to talk about love. Let love be without hypocrisy. What's the greatest need in the church? Love. It's not gifts. It's not gifts. You must have love. If the gifts are there, you better not operate as a teacher without love. You better not rule without love. You better not give without love. You better not exhort without love. You better not prophesy without love. If you have one of these gifts, make sure you have love that isn't hypocritical. In other words, you could say, God bless you, brother. I so love you, brother. And you go round the corner and go, oh, what a wretch. What a wretch. You're a hypocrite. Your love is a lie. You may come into church and say, oh, I love them. And you step out of that environment and you talk against them. You are a hypocrite. Your love is no love. It's not real. You put on a love face and then you step out and say, bunch of scoundrels, you're a liar. You're a liar. I tell you, it's all through the church. Let your love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love. In honor preferring one another. Since he has just dealt with gifting in the church. But now he says, you need character. You need to love one another. You need to hate that which is evil. You need to hold fast that which is good. If you don't have this, your gifting will stink. It'll be a burden. It'll be a curse in the church. You need gifting, but you also need character. And the greatest character is love. Real love. Love isn't soft. Love isn't soft. Love takes you to the cross. Love will make a man of you. Love will make a woman of you. Where you see real love, you see a real husband, a real wife, a real man, a real woman. That's where you see the reality. Saints, when we go to 1 Corinthians Chapter 12 to 14, we read much about the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the church. Chapter 12 is about the nine gifts. Chapter 14 is about prophecy and tongues and interpretation operating in the church. In these two chapters, chapter 12, chapter 14, it's all about the gifts. But what's in between? Chapter 13 on love. Now lots of people have said, we reject the gifts, it's love that's important. That's not true. That's not true. There's those who say, I have love, I don't need gifts. That's against scripture. That's anti-scriptural. Do you know what he's actually saying? Chapter 12, gifts. Chapter 13, love. Chapter 14, gifts. You know what he's saying? It is gifts and character together. Never separate them. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 12:31. But covet earnestly the best gifts. What's the word covet mean? It means to burn with a holy fire or desire. You covet, you desire, you want the best gifts. And yet I show unto you a more excellent way. Do you realize if all you do in this church is covet gifts, that's not enough. You say, but I want to prophesy. I want to heal the sick. I want ministry. I want the power of God. That's not enough. You're on dangerous ground. It does say we ought to covet the gifts. But there's a more excellent way than that. There's nothing wrong with seeking gifts. But by itself, it's not enough. It says, yet show I unto a more excellent way or more perfect way. Then in chapter 14, verse 1, notice what else it says. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. Do you know what the more excellent way is? Operate in gifts with love in your heart. That is the more excellent way. It's not operating gifts without love. Neither is it having love without the gifts, rejecting the gifts. Both of them are wrong. The more excellent way is that I covet the gifts. I burn for the gifts. I want supernatural gifts. But 14 verse 1, follow after charity. Pursue charity. Follow after love. And desire spiritual gifts. But rather that ye may prophesy. Saints, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to 14, Paul is presenting to us character with gifts. Gifts with character. Gifts that are backed up by the character of love. He says in 1 Corinthians 13 and 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or as a tinkling cymbal. In verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and I do not have charity, I am nothing, absolutely nothing. He's saying you could have all the gifts and you don't have love. You're nothing. You're nothing. It's empty. That is not enough. But he's not saying not to have gifts or not to pursue or not to covet after them. He said you ought to be burning for the gifts. But saints, don't separate what God puts together. If God gives you, you better pursue after love. You've got to have love. You've got to have the right heart. You've got to have holiness alive. But you know what? If you have love, pursue after these things. Please stand with me here this morning in Jesus' name. My God and my Savior.